Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
And welcome into a busy 4th of July weekend. If you're going fishing, don't forget that license expired on June 30th, so you got to get your new license before you head out. You can do it simply online. All right, we got lots more fishing reports coming up, coming your way. Also, this photo that's appearing on our Bayou Wild TV website, also on my Facebook page. It's a whole alligator grilled, head on, feet on, and I don't know, some people are saying it looks great, appetizing. It was cooked by Chef Michael Johnson. He is the LSU athletics chef, cooks for the teams. I wonder if this could be the secret to LSU's perfect 15-0 season, eating grilled gator. I'm not sure. Anyway, that will be part of Season 5 episode of Bayou Wild TV. We got that coming up. Also, we've been busy getting some really great stories for you. Louisiana's biggest fish story, a story I covered many years ago about the biggest fish, bluefin tuna, ever caught in Louisiana. And we interviewed, again, the people who were aboard that boat. We also have a young knife-making sensation here in Louisiana. We'll tell you his story. Next week, Chris Lecoq, our cameraman, and I are going on an alligator egg hunt out to Delacroix. Picking up eggs out of alligator nests. It's part of the alligator put back and restoration program. We also had a feature on how to fish with rookies. We had three teenagers, Mike Gallo, myself, and their dad and uncle. We took three young men out into Biloxi Marsh. First time some of them had ever fished, and certainly first time they've ever caught a redfish. And they came through excellent. And Mike shared some tips about how to get people started in fishing. And I think we've got those three guys. They may end up being hooked for life. All right, so let me get to the text. Someone wants to know about the whooping crane killer. Will he have the same woman judge as last year's bad boy? No, he will not. Let me refresh your memory. This guy's name was Kenan Johnson, and he, back in May of 2016, he was accused of killing two whooping cranes, which are endangered species. He had a 15-year-old accomplice with him who has already been prosecuted. Of course, he's a juvenile, so we don't have the records of that. But on July 29th, he is scheduled for a change of plea hearing. And I am told, I think I said Johnson. His name is Kenan A. Constantine. He is scheduled on July 29th to appear before Magistrate Judge Patrick J. Hanna. And I am told he will be pleading guilty to a Lacey Act violation, which Lacey Act is transportation, interstate transportation, or any transportation of an endangered species. And the fine for that is $100,000 maximum. $50,000 for the killing of it. He's not pleading guilty to that. But he at first said he was innocent, pled not guilty. He's going to change that plea, according to my sources. And we'll see if that sticks. And be interesting to see what sentence this judge gives this young man. And I'm certainly hoping that there'll be a lot of community service involved in it. A stiff fine probably will not get jail time out of it. But we'll see how this judge handles it as opposed to the last whooping crane killer. All right, let's see. Got some more text messages coming in. Let's see. We got the Lafayette Yacker. Got that Boudin coffee thing going on, waiting for the paddler report. Yeah, we'll have Eric doing that coming up shortly. They said that full moon is called, this one's called a buck moon. I can only imagine why it has that name. All right, another one. On the good boat to buy that serves as a dual offshore and inshore. Thanks, have a good and safe 4th of July. My opinion on that is very difficult because for an inshore boat, you want something with a shallow draft to get up into the redfish flats, fish those shallow areas in the wintertime for speckled trout. Offshore, you want something with high sides, a nice V bow, so you can cut through those waves when it gets a little rocky out there. I'm going to say minimum 24, possibly 27 foot center console. And again, the more you get in bow height and rail height, you give up in shallow draft. It's kind of a trade-off. So depends. Now, if you get a boat that's going to do excellent in the salt water flats and doesn't draw much water, well, when it gets a little rough, you may not be able to head out to those rigs to fish the snapper. The perfect answer, get two boats. Well, it's up to you, but that's what I'm going to tell you is it can be done, but you're going to have to make a trade-off there and find that happy medium in the middle. All right, coming back after this, Mike Gallo joins us. He and I fished with some rookies this past Monday and ended up with 14 keeper reds and a whole lot of memories. We'll talk about that trip. He'll also tell you what's ahead for this 4th of July weekend if you fish Lake Bourne, Lake Pontchartrain, Lake Catherine. I'll also get that 9-mile and 3-mile point report if he's been out there. All that's coming up next on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And it's time for the Captain Mike Gallo Report, brought to you by Seato. Yeah, they're probably going to have a busy weekend this week on this 4th of July. A lot of boaters are out there. What they sell you for $179 for a whole year? Peace of mind, number one. But what that includes, if you run out of fuel, they'll come out and bring it to you, tow you in 24/7 if you got a breakdown, jump start you for electrical problems. Whatever it takes to get you in and keep you safe on the water and off the water. It's like having a AAA policy. Seato. Call Captain Chris, great guy, Colleen, they'll tell you all about it. Call them at 504-301-4545, and you can check it out on the web. Makes a great gift to give this to someone if they don't think about getting it for themselves. If you know a boater and they don't have a Seato contract, sign them up. Go to Seato.com. Captain Mike joins us now. Captain Mike, you need a theme song. I'm going to ask the audience to text me a good theme song that fits your personality. Unless you got one you want to choose, think about it and let us know. We got to get you a theme song.
I have no idea.
I didn't think you would be. But we'll let the audience take care of that. Somebody text me 504-260-1870. A theme song for Captain Mike Gallo, and we'll get our crack staffer, Doug Christian, to get on that, and we'll start that next week. All right, let's go back to Monday. You and I had a great trip with some youngsters. You know, the thing that impressed me the most about those three guys, they took your direction very well, huh? I'm sure you've had people that you tell them, they don't listen. These guys did it, man, and they had a good time. It really paid off.
Yeah, that was a fine group of young men. You could really see they had a desire to be good fishermen. And what really helped was we pulled up, and within 10 minutes we caught a fish. So that gives them confidence in the captain and the area. And, the fish are biting. They're obviously in the area. So they kind of stayed focused, and it worked out. You know, it really helps when you tell them you need to be close to the shoreline. And they cast, and, they might be 5 feet from this shore, and you tell, that's not close enough. You got to get right next to it. And then when they do get close, they catch a fish. Well, it kind of validates what you're telling them, and then they can recognize when they are close enough, and when they're not, simply recast. So it helps when everything flows and the fish follow the instructions as well.
Yeah, they did. And, one important thing, too, and you can't do this as a boat captain, but I'm glad that Dad and Uncle Michael did. He told Henry and Oliver and Cooper, the first thing he told them was, all right, boys, turn the cell phones off. And you didn't see them on the phone the whole time we were out there fishing. Now, I'm sure when they got back in, they went to it. And they can, sending the pictures and all that stuff. But that's certainly, particularly for young people who fish, that could be a distraction. And he took care of that right from the very beginning.
Yeah, he certainly knew his sons and how to keep them focused. And, most of the time when I head out to the Biloxi Marsh, first thing I do in the morning after I make my final weather check is to put my phone on airplane mode. It's going to search for signal, and if there's weak signal, before you know it, your battery's dead. And then if I did need my phone to call Seato or something to come help me out, I wouldn't have any battery. So I'm in the habit of turning my phone off and have been in that habit for many years.
Excellent tip. We're going to start calling that the boat mode as well as airplane mode. Put it in boat mode. Mike, where are you headed today? You're going to fish specs, reds, both. What's going on this weekend? We got a west wind, but, boy, we got a rock and roll tide this weekend, over 2 foot.
Yeah, I'm not going to be fishing today. We elected to stay on land with the 60% chance of rain. But I did fish every day this week, starting Monday, you know, with yourself and those young men. Had some good trips. Tuesday, I fished one of the shell reefs in Lake Bourne. We were going to do a combination trip. We ended up catching, we probably caught 40 speckled trout. We could keep 20. And then we went into the marsh and ended up, I think, with a dozen redfish. Right in the same area where you and I was, couldn't have been a mile away from there. Wednesday, attempted to do the same thing. The west wind was much stronger. I ended up in that 9 mile and 3 mile area. And there's a lot of islands over that way. Easy to get around the backside of an island. With the incoming tide being as strong as it is, you simply look for a good current line. A current line and some birds in the area. They don't have to be diving on the water. They can just be what we call search birds. There's seagulls flying around just waiting on the opportunity. It kind of tells you everything in the area that you're looking for. The birds know there's bait there, there's fish there. It's just a matter of when the fish push the bait to the surface and the birds can feed. So you do your 15-minute rule. You hit those current lines, get a couple of people fishing on the surface, a couple on the bottom, see what you catch, and if it's what you're looking for, you stay. If it's not, you move. There's literally hundreds of islands in those areas. Wednesday, I was with your buddy Richie, and we did that. The west wind wouldn't allow us to be in Lake Bourne, so we ran down towards that 9 mile area, found a real steady bite for about an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours. A lot of small fish, probably caught 60 to 80 fish and ended up keeping 28 trout. At that point, we'd shifted gears and went into the marsh to look for redfish. We had a young man on board, Richie's grandson. He was 12. So we finished out the day catching some redfish. And then Thursday and Friday were strictly redfish trips where I went straight into the marsh and just did shrimp under a cork or spoons and spinners, and very successful. I do find in the heat of the day, it's best to fish where you do have some moving water or lots of moving water, especially if you're in the marsh.
All right, Mike, all good tips, good advice, good stuff. By the way, we got your first entry in for your theme song. Somebody wants to give Professor Mike Gallo the soundtrack from Back to the Future featuring the eccentric scientist Dr. Emmett Doc Brown. So there's one. We'll get plenty more in, too. I'm hoping people do it, and I'll run them by you, and you can pick one. We might even let you listen to them first because you may or may not be familiar with all of them. Well, Mike, enjoy your 4th of July off. You've had a very busy week, and I know you got some busy weeks ahead. So if somebody wants to get a hold of you and get in on some of this action out that way, tell them how to find you.
Very simple. You can find me on DimeTheOutdoorsGuy.com. My website is AAofLA.com. We're on Facebook under Angling Adventures or the old-fashioned reliable telephone, which is 985-781-7811.
Very good, Michael. We will talk to you next week, my friend. Thanks so much for the report. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Don. Y'all have a safe, happy 4th.
Yes, indeed. All right. Theme song for Professor Mike Gallo. Send us your choice. What do you think fits him the best to intro him each week? 504-260-1870. It's a simple text away. Coming back after this, we got a guy with a theme song, Stroking. It's Eric Muhabarak, who pedals and paddles for his fish, and some of you do too. Back with his report after this on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. Now, there's a theme song. I just got another selection for Captain Mike's theme song, Happy Days. Oh, because he always seems happy. That might be a winner. I like that one, 1192. Thanks for that suggestion. All right, this Peddler's Report, if you will, is with the Bayou Coast Kayak Fishing Club and a presentation of Massey's Outfitters. They've been known to sell kayaks in New Orleans, Baton Rouge, Covington, and some of the best models, too, like Hobie, Jackson Kayak, and Native Watercraft. You can see them on their website, MasseyOutfitters.com, or check them on the Facebook. And here he is, the lookalike for Captain Quint, Eric Mohabarak. You know, there were more people thought you were Captain Quint than Captain Quint when we did that little poll. You know that, don't you? It was a year ago.
Yes.
Today.
A year ago today, yeah. Wasn't that fun? It was a good time, man. Enjoyed that, definitely, for sure. You know?
You could definitely fill in for him. So where have you been fishing other than shark fishing?
I've been out this week, you know, to local stomping grounds, Port Sulphur. I've hit Yellow Cotton and stuff like that, of course. Did hit Lake Pontchartrain, and did some good redfish. Got to work for them along the south shore of the lake, you know, bouncing jigs, 3/8 ounce jigs. I was using the gulp and also some saltwater assassin seemed to work well. My buddy was using, and we caught limits, and that's a good thing, picking up on a bass here and there also, you know. The area we're fishing, I'll just kind of give it up a little bit. It's close to where that big old alligator was caught, so I don't think you'll be eating no more redfish. So it was real close to that area. But they got some big gators over there that people don't know about. Watch your dog.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. Navarre Beach, Florida. Boy, it sounds like it's on over there, huh?
Man, they got all kinds of stuff going on over there. The snapper, they've been killing it. You know, anytime you can get off the beach and hit those reefs, they have the public reefs that are marked, which is great. I wish I'd do that here in Louisiana just to see if we could pull in some snapper closer because the population is so high. But it's really easy over there. It's marked. You can go to the Florida Wildlife page and get the coordinates and get out there and pick you a reef within range. You know, don't push yourself and don't go by yourself either. It's another good point to add to that and weigh your life preserve, your PFD. But really easy, just set up a bottom rig just like you would do off of a boat, cut bait, live baits, and a lot of this slow pitch jigs have become really popular in the last few years, it seems like, which, you know, Don, you're familiar with the old dollar lure, right? The old diamond jigs?
Yes, sir.
You know, yeah, I still got some of the originals. So, you know, I'm sure that would work on the things. In fact, I used it down in Key West years ago and caught a huge mutton snapper. It was 17 pounds many years ago. But great stuff right there. Easy to do. You know, I'm not sure of the date when the snapper season closes, you know. But something else that's going on that's really phenomenal is they've been seeing a ton of sailfish. One of my buddies over there who charters, Brandon Barton, he's also on the Hobie Kayak Fishing Team, fishing out of the 360 also. His client, they caught their limit of snappers, and then his client landed a sailfish off the kayak. And they're thick as thieves out there. They've been seen schools of them, you know, up to six or more in a school. Now, to get them to bite, that's something else different, you know. And the tarpon are starting to come down the beach, you know. The best baits for those big fish, what I find is I'm a firm believer. Now, I don't fish it all the time, so I'm not a professional. You know, those guys over there can, you know, fish those fish really good. But I find whatever you catch on a sabiki rig or if you can throw your cast net on something, whatever you catch in that area where you're fishing at, that's what those fish are eating. They've been caught on leatherbacks, which is that mackerel-type looking fish with the thorns in its back, you know, the fins that can stab you. Very painful. Mullet, pogies, cigar minnows. That's what I suggest, pick up a bag of cigar minnows before you get out there and then go catch your live bait in case you can't get any live bait because there's days like that. And it's just slow troll. Some people use a cork or a balloon to bring it up to the top. I prefer just to leave it drift behind the boat. And, you know, you'll get kings and cobia and dolphin and occasional blackfin out there, too. So it's a multitude of fish out there. It's beautiful, too, you know. But pick your days and be careful. Watch the weather.
All right, finally, tell me what you know about Gator Cove. Where is it, and what? How do you fish it?
Well, that's Baisons. You know where Baisons Marina is down that way. Really easy launch at the launch and just start hitting the marsh. Seems that, you know, as usual, redfish are in the ponds. They've been feeding on the gall spoons and plastics. You know, the trout, they've been picking them up in the like where there's four ways or three ways, where three or four bayous meet, where there's some current flowing around points and stuff. I can't say they've been catching limits, but, you know, 20 trout a trip, 15 trout a trip, you know, which is quite simple for a limit to happen at any moment. But it's been some really good fishing down there. You know, a lot of people pass that area up and head all the way down to the island, which, you know, the island's been on fire lately too, meaning Grand Isle. But it's really a good place to fish, a lot of marsh, you know, a lot of coverage, you know. So, you know, it seems like good things going on.
Very good report, Eric. You are one of the very few kayak charter operations. Tell people how to get a hold of you. They'd like to give it a shot, fishing with a kayak with a professional guide.
Yeah, you can get in touch with me on your website, Don Dubuque's the Outdoor Guy, or you can look on Facebook, the Louisiana Kayak Company, or on Instagram, the same thing, at the Louisiana Kayak Company, or just really call me, 504-313-8292.
Sounds good.
Y'all have a happy 4th of July. All right?
Do the same, my friend. We'll see you next time.
All right. Eat you some gator, Don.
There you go. The breakfast of champions. All right,
buddy.
All right. Eric Mahabarak, our paddling report.
See you later.
I got some more theme song suggestions for Captain Mike Gallo. If you got one, 504-260-1870. Text it to me. When we come back after this, I got a story for you. It's called the Oyster Bootleggers, otherwise known as our Bad Boys of the Outdoors. Their story's next on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, I've got a text in with regard to one of our former bad boys, Kenan Constantine, who is going to, from what I hear, will change his plea from innocent or not guilty to a violation of the Lacey Act, transporting illegally taken fish or wildlife, which in two endangered whooping cranes were shot over 2 years ago, and finally, we'll be going to court on July 29th. He will be appearing before Judge Patrick Hanna. And if you want to send the judge a letter, if you've got something you feel very strongly about what the punishment should be, you're certainly welcome to do that. I've got a text in here that says, "We humans are keepers of the lesser brethren. Anyone who kills a member of an endangered species should be punished severely. Penalties should include putting them under the jail for a week, a month, 160 hours of community service, and a huge fine. Throw the book and the bookshelves at them." Can't say I argue with you. Very serious offense, and we'll see how that all turns out. We'll let you know as soon as that trial ends. All right, right after this 10-second pause, I'm going to tell you about another couple of bad boys. We call them the Oyster Bootleggers. It's not nearly endangered species, but it's also a serious violation. I'll tell you why right after we let our local stations tell you who they are and where they are along the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. A case involving a joint effort by Louisiana and Mississippi Department of Marine Resources cited a Slidell man for alleged oyster violations in St. Tammany and Terrebonne parishes. June 17th, Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fishery agents were alerted to a social media post. There you go. Advertising lawbreaking. How dumb is that? About a man attempting to sell shucked oysters illegally. The investigation found that Percy B. Dardar was harvesting oysters from the Point of Shen area to sell them in Mississippi. Having been cited for failing to tag sacked oysters, failing to tag containerized oysters, failing to maintain traceable oyster records, violating oyster refrigeration code requirements, illegal shipping of commercial fish, violating interstate commerce, and selling oysters without a wholesale retail seafood license, and facing fines of up to $4,400 and 120 days in jail, is 39-year-old Percy B. Dardar of Slidell, our bad boy of the outdoors. You know, a lot of people don't recognize the seriousness of an oyster violation. Oysters require careful scrutiny, the handling and the record keeping to ensure that public health safety. And not to mention the negative economic repercussions to seafood industry, restaurants, to fishermen, and the state that would result from putting contaminated oysters into commerce. I'm not opposed to giving Mr. Dardar some time behind bars, although doubtful that it will happen. All right, we never run out of them, bad boys of the outdoors, but we got a good guy coming up right behind him. Ryan Lambert's his name, also known as the Plastic Man, and he's got a Plaquemines Parish Area Fishing Report coming your way right after this time out. You're listening to The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. See, Ryan Lambert has a theme song because Plastic Man fits him because he loves to throw plastic to feed the fish. We need one for Mike Gallo. Text me, 504-260-1870. Think about it. What is a good theme song to fit Captain Mike Gallo? All right, Ryan Lambert's with us. And, Ryan, where you been throwing plastic lately and what you been catching on it?
I think we ought to go with Dr. Morgan's theme song.
Oh, yeah, he loved that one. Hey, you know what? We're telling age here. You know, we got half the people listening don't even know who Dr. Morgus is.
I know, that's right, that's right. Well, I tell you what, buddy, that river fell down to 7-8, and it went on fire. I mean, there's got a lot of rain up north, and it's going to stay at 8 for the next 2 weeks. But eight's good because, you know, the water's getting pretty and the bait's coming toward the river and the fish are coming with it. The bull reds are pouring in there. Reds will be catching trout. It's been a great week. The boys have dumped a lot of buckets this week on the cleaning table.
Yeah, well, you know, and that should continue, you know. But, boy, y'all had some bad storms down there, you know, some days. You
really did, you know. They all limited out before that 10 o'clock rainstorm hit them yesterday. So we've been getting around it and getting our limits and making people happy. And then the fish have been pull up on a spot, bang, you know, limit out on one spot and then go look for some, you know, some other kinds of fish. I mean, it got to where Ross the other day went out and found a load of sheepheads and they quit at 40. The little girl says, "Let's not keep any more." I said, "Thank God." Yeah, because, yeah. I mean, the cleaning table's been full. It's been good. And I've been having a lot of kids, and that's a great time for the fish to turn on because, you know, these youngsters, I just love when they get on the fish. And one little girl was her first time ever coming, and, I mean, she just mauled them. She was a good little fisherman.
Now, do you allow those youngsters to throw shrimp, or do you make them use plastic like a real man?
Well, I make them fish with the guys that throw shrimp. That's what I do. You know, there's no sense in you know, me taking a trip like that if I don't like to do it. And, you know, if I have to, I guess I would. But, you know, I got 12 guys. I mean, they all throw it and let them do it. I mean, it's not like it takes a special skill set to do that particular thing. So, you know, let them go. And plus, I'd rather my boys make money than me. You know, I'm going to make, you know, mine with lodging and all that. But, you know, I just still, you know, they've been biting a lot on plastic this week. A lot of men even use the shrimp. I mean, the bite's been good enough where you just throw it out there and you ain't get whacked. And once they're gone on a point or a current line or whatever, you can stay on them and really, really do well. So, you know, we've just been throwing a lot of plastics. They're coming in with shrimp.
Let's talk a little bit about ducks. The commission meeting, they're going to discuss, you know, when we make a choice, it's going to be for 5 years. We got to live and die with it. What would be your ideal scenario as far as, you like, early start, late start, two splits, three zones, or just two zones, east and west? What would be your preference for hunting downriver?
I would like east and west, north and south, just two, to where everybody doesn't gang up on one area like they do now, because the coastal opens first and everybody from all over the state comes and just invades Venice, and there's hundreds and hundreds of boats there. And then next week they go to wherever they're going to hunt. So just have the openings at the, you know, at the same time, north and south or east and west, or make it far enough to where, you know, guys can't go around the block to go hit two different things. But it doesn't really matter, Don. It's about the food, the hurricanes, the coastal land loss. And to us, in later in the season, we get these negative tides. We can't even hunt in January a lot of times for a week at a time, because anytime these days, if it gets more than a negative 0.3, the marsh goes dry and the ducks go offshore. And it's very, very difficult to hunt them, and you're getting stuck. So, you know, if we get it early and get it done, it's better for the coastal zone because of those ties. Other places, ties don't matter. They can make it a late season, and if they want to get those ducks late that they think are going to migrate late, you know, I'm just not buying it. Unless you get a giant ice out up there to cover up all the food that's up there, you got to think that there's never been corn in North and South Dakota and Canada before because the genetics, you know, the corn couldn't make quick enough. But now they have these new genetic corns that they can grow all the way in Canada, and now they're doing that. So if you think about three states or a country and two states of corn that never was there, the ducks don't have to come down here anymore, especially mallards. So they don't. So yeah. We have more problems than just when we're going to have
the
season.
Yeah. But yeah, we do.
If I had my druthers, you know, let's get the coastal zone done early, and then they can do whatever they want on the north zone because they do get a very few mallards up there. So let them go late in the north zone, and that way they can have a better shot at some of those mallards if they get a big ice out up there.
All right, well, we'll find out. They're going to be discussing it at the commission meeting coming up on Thursday. Ryan, thanks for the report. Y'all got any fireworks going on down there?
Oh, God, no. I got fireworks. I got no fireworks around me all the time. I got to try to put them out. But, you know, I guess I wonder if I could ask him for three fronts during teal season every year. You know, just send me three cold fronts during teal season. I'll be a happy man.
Well, you and me both. Ryan, thanks for the update as always. CajunFishingAdventures.com. You can find him on the website. And if you want to give him a call, give him your number, Ryan.
Oh, yeah, they can call me on my cell at 504-559-5111, and I'd be more than happy to answer any questions you have.
Very good. Okay, Ryan, have a happy 4th of July, and we will talk to you next week.
Happy 4th, my friend.
Yes, sir. All right, there he goes, our plastic man. All right, I got some more here for the Gallows song, Swinging from the Gallows Pole by Led Zeppelin's Hangman. I'm not sure about that. Here's one, Amos Moses. I don't know if Mike Gallo fits Amos Moses. He's the guy we call the professor, you know. He's the educated fisherman who dissects and thinks and figures out ways and kind of really looks into the sport of fishing through a white lab coat. Anyway, we're going to be back right after this. And finally, okay, those of you who have been wanting to know about how to hunt hogs at night with a firearm and a suppressor, what you need to do, I've got it for you. I'll be right back with that. And we'll put a wrap on it. It's here and gone already. Our 4th of July weekend of the outdoors with Don DeBee. All right, I got a text in. This is from Bo. Wants to know if there's been any update on the new Hunter Safety online class. It was mentioned at a Wildlife and Fisheries Commission meeting. It was they filed what's known as a notice of intent. It takes, I think, 120 days for that to go through, so it's in the works. I can't tell you this, Bo. If you need to get it in a hurry and you want to be certain to do it and you got to do it online, you can go to the Texas Parks and Wildlife and Fisheries website, and you can apply for and get it in that fashion. All right, for the persons who have been wanting to know about hunting at night, if you're on private property, if you have written permission from the landowner, it's your land, you can hunt coyotes, armadillos, and feral hogs, even nutrient beaver, at night. And the season lasts from February, the last day of February, to the last day of August. So it is open now, but outside of that, it is closed. You can take these hogs and other animals with or without a light, a bull-eye. You can use an infrared, those laser sighting devices, night vision devices. You can also use a suppressor, a silencer, if you're authorized to possess that. And that's another whole story about getting your firearm fitted with a sound suppressor and what you need to do to get a permit for that. But if you do this, you have to, within 24 hours of when you're going to hunt, you have to call the sheriff of the parish you're in, or the property's in, and the Wildlife and Fisheries Enforcement Division at their toll-free number, 800-442-2511, and let them know you will be who you are and you will be out there so that the agents will know this is not someone night hunting for deer or rabbits with lights. You got to make those two calls to the sheriff of the parish you're hunting in and to the Wildlife and Fisheries at their enforcement number, and then you're good to go. We're supposed to be doing one of those on Bayou Wild, a nighttime hunt with some of those infrared scopes and stuff. We're working on that for season 5. Hopefully we'll get it. All right. You know, the online hunter certification, again, it's in the works, and hopefully we'll be able to get it before we get too close to the season. All right, those of you who got some more requests for – yeah, let's see if we – maybe what we'll do with this Mike Gallo theme song is we'll let you keep sending these in to me, text them, and maybe each week we'll run a different one, let him listen to them, let you listen to it, maybe we'll have a vote on it, make a little contest out of it and see which one would be the deciding factor. But the guy needs – at one time I thought about the old Paladin. If you remember the old Western, Have Gun, Will Travel – maybe a Have Boat Will Travel for Mike Gallo. Anyway, we'll figure that out. All right, those of you who've been wanting to know about the speckled trout change in regulations, it's, again, something else in the works. It's going to take some time. I would not expect any change until very late this year, possibly next year. Again, those predictions, if you look on the Wildlife and Fisheries website, they did a survey, and they asked for fishermen's opinions on which changes you want, and here were the choices. You can bet it's going to be one of these. A size change only would go to stay at 25 fish, but would raise the minimum size to 14 inches. Another change would involve the creel only. If they went down to 10 fish, you could keep your 12-inch minimum. Another scenario, these three involve both the size and the limit change. 12 fish at 13 inches. 12 fish at 13 inches with one allowed over 20, which would be a slot, and the other would be go to 15 fish with a 13.5-inch minimum. You can pretty much take it to the bank. One of those will be the choice. Those will be presented to the commission. Public's going to have time to input on it, and then it will become law. And even though we're experiencing a better-than-average speckled trout season, I still think the long-term dictates that we probably need a change to bring the species back to the great glory days of speckled trout fishing in Louisiana. Thanks for being with us. Have a very safe and happy 4th of July. If you're playing with those fireworks, be very, very careful. Get out and fish with the family if you can. And make sure you come back here again next week, same time, same place, same station, for another edition of The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.